Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, babe, meet us at the bottom of the trail.
Oh, man. Hey.
Open up.
The redesigned Chevy Silverado with a sophisticated high-tech interior.
Open the door.
It's easy to forget it's a truck.
Thanks. Nice truck.
It was.
Find new style. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
You're now tuned into WBNN News Forum, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla Jamesia. Right the Wrong Coalition and be a voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Peru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Peru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 111. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum has over 15 million listeners worldwide. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor and investigative reporter. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, share a story of injustice or corruption, or ask a question to one of our guests, please press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Please keep in mind that while News Forum is a very controversial show with many controversial topics as well as controversial callers and guests, and while we allow freedom of speech for all, we ask that you refrain from using profanity. And also, keep in mind that some of the views of our guests, as well as our hosts, are not always the views of News Forum, WBNN, or Ngozi Time Multimedia. To reach Chinchilla Jonesia after the show, you may call her Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Ms. Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia, on Facebook, and at Princess Chinchilla on Instagram. Chinchilla has one L. And now, here she is, host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J.
All right.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right, everybody. Hey, hey. It's your girl, Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. There's been so much happening around this country, and a lot of people have been sidetracked with a lot of different issues that have been taking place, which got their minds off of some other things that had taken place this past week. And we're going to talk about two of the main things that happened this week with our United States Supreme Court. Wow. In the same day, they passed two laws within the Supreme Court. One dealing with women's rights, you know, the woman's right to choose, dealing with abortions. And the second they ruled on was gun laws. And we're going to address both of these issues tonight right here on News Forum. Tonight, my special guest will be Francetta Mays from the NAACP and also Sergio Hyland, who is the chief editor, the editor-in-chief of a magazine. And we're going to talk to both of them tonight on these issues. And my co-host, of course, criminal defense attorney, Caroline Turner, will be weighing in tonight on the gun laws. And we're also going to be speaking with Brian Fegans, who is a host on WWDB. And, wow, make sure you press 1 tonight if you want to chime in or weigh in on any of these issues tonight. If you have something you want to say about the Supreme Court ruling on Roe versus Wade, or if you have something you would like to say on the gun laws, press 1. We want to hear from you tonight and know where your mind is on these issues. Has it upset you because of what the Supreme Court did this past week with overturning Roe versus Wade? There's a lot of women that's highly upset about this. Then there's women that are happy. There's men that are upset about this. Then there's men that are happy. So it's like really put this country in somewhat of a turmoil, even when, you know, before the ruling came, where we had people scaling these tall skyscrapers, like in San Francisco, the Bay Area, man, climb all the way up to the top, okay? And, you know, he got arrested once he got up there, but that was to make a statement. And then we had someone in Oregon do the same thing. And, you know, it's such a sad situation that people go to these extreme measures to try to prove their point. Now, they risk their lives climbing all the way up to the top, they could fall and fall into their death. But, you know, we have people that are pro-life, and they go all out. They're pro-life. They don't want to see a fetus, an embryo, or whatever you want to call the baby that's inside of a mother's womb, because most doctors say, okay, when that child is conceived, it's a life. It's a life. And there's others that disagree with that. But should a woman be able to have the right to choose what goes on with her body, because it's her body that that baby is inside of? So should she have that right to choose whether or not to have that baby? Now, should she have that right to choose only if it's because of a rape? Then should she be able to say, hey, I don't want this baby. I was raped. I don't want this baby. It's going to give me a constant reminder of what happened to me. And that's hard, you know, for a woman to make that decision. And then what about a baby? Well, I can't even say a baby that just happened, because there's no such thing as a baby that just happened, okay, because we don't have any Virgin Marys out here today with someone being, you know, conceiving a baby through the Holy Ghost. Not today, okay? Not today. That happened once, okay? And that was when Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. So we don't have that happening today. So there are women out here today that have sex, unprotected sex, and they get pregnant, and then they decide they don't want the child. So we have all types of situations out here. And what I say about that, you don't want to have a baby. Either you keep your legs closed or wear a condom. Okay, use protection, okay? Take a pill, have the guy wear a condom or something, okay? And stop being loose, with your loose legs. But anyway, my views on these abortion rights, you know, I am pro-life because I don't believe in killing a baby. Have I ever had an abortion in my life? Yes, I have, when I was younger. And I was raped. And I did not want that baby because I was raped. And so I went and I got an abortion. And after the abortion, I was really torn up inside. I was very sad. I sat there and I actually cried. And because that was a life in me. And I took that innocent baby's life, you know, but I couldn't deal with the fact that the baby's father was someone that raped me. So there are so many women in that same situation. Would I do that again today? If that was the case scenario with me, I really can't answer that question, whether I could actually do that again today, simply because of the fact that, you know, I'm now, you know, I was a Christian woman. At the time, I was not, okay? So with the values I have now, I really cannot say if I would actually have that abortion or want to get rid of that baby or not. And I could maybe weigh on the side of I may would still do that same thing because I don't think I would feel comfortable carrying a child inside of me that I know was the product of a rape. And with that mentality of a rapist, that child could wind up with some of those traits, you know, because we have to be careful who we mix our seed with. So that is a seed that would have been mixed that was not willingly mixed by me, okay? So, you know, it's so hard. So women have a tough decision, you know, when it comes to getting rid of a child through abortion. And, you know, and again, I say for those that, you know, just go out and have sex, unprotected sex, and get pregnant, and, you know, and then they decide, oh, well, I don't want to have no baby. Well, you should have not had sex, okay? Point blank. Now, I do, on the other hand, believe that a woman should have the right to choose what she does with her body. Even though I am a strong believer in God's word, you know, when it comes to abortion, I'm a strong believer that you should not take a life, but I'm also a strong believer knowing that God himself gives us the right to choose. So with that being said, if he's given us the right to choose, how can a law made by man force a woman to do or not to do something that she does or does not want to do? So I don't think that a law should be given like that because the woman should have a right to choose just as God gives all of us the right to either serve him or to serve the devil, okay? He gives us a choice to make, and we all have to live with the choices that we make throughout life. So that is something that the Supreme Court, in my opinion, should not have a say-so, okay? Whether, you know, Roe versus Wade, when that happened, you know, okay, so be it. But now they overturned that. And I don't think Roe versus Wade should have ever been an issue in the first place because a woman should have always had the right to choose whether or not I agree with their decisions. But they should have that right to decide what happens to their bodies and to their unborn child. So that's my view on abortion. All right, so we're going to bring on Caroline now and speak with her tonight. How are you, Caroline?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. So I know you're going to be speaking on gun laws, but I just always like to bring you on first to say hello to you and all of that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So for those of you that don't know Caroline, this is Caroline Turner, my dear friend, who is an attorney, and she's a wonderful attorney. And next year, 2023, she will be running for judge. So she will not be speaking on abortion law tonight because of that fact, but she will speak on the gun laws tonight, and we're so grateful to have her tonight to talk about gun laws. And we're going to be talking with her in a moment. I'm going to introduce the other guests to you guys tonight, and then we're going to get into our conversations. And so now we're going to bring on Sergio Highland to say hello to him. How are you tonight, Sergio?
I'm good. How are you, Chinchilla? How's everything?
Everything is fine and dandy. So excited to have you tonight. And we're going to be talking about these gun laws that the Supreme Court laid down last week. And we're going to also talk about this Roe versus Wade that they've overturned. And well, I know that you're a man, but I still want to get your input as well because you are a father. And so I definitely want to get your input on that ruling tonight. And we're going to be bringing you back on very soon. I just want to get the other guests introduced tonight. And we will be talking with you shortly, Sergio.
Okay,
all right. So that was Sergio, everybody. So now we're going to bring on Francetta. Francetta Mays, who has been on here several times now. She is from the NAACP, and she is also a pastor out of the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma. How are you tonight, Francetta?
You sure you got
Francetta?
The right one?
All right. So right now, of course, the lines are being crossed at this time. So at this time, Francetta's not on at this time. Check your teleprompter there, Dr. J. And I do believe that if the number is 0020, that might be the brother from last week, Mr. Higgins, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
I believe
he is on.
Yes, that's Figan. Yes. Okay. So we're going to bring on Brian Figgins from WWDB. How are you tonight, Brian?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how are you guys? Hello, everyone on the panel.
We're fine, we're fine. So, of course, tonight, you know, we're going to be talking about those gun laws tonight and about the Roe versus Wade being overturned by the Supreme Court last week. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. And, you know, it's really crazy. So, you know, the title of tonight's show is Chaos. Chaos or Order in America. Some people are calling it chaos. Some people are calling it order. And, you know, it's crazy. So we're going to get all of you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get all of your input tonight on these Supreme Court rulings. So with that being said, wow. All I can say is wow. And we're going to get started with our show. And there's this song called Political Corruption, and we may play that later. We may not, depending. But, you know, this, do you find this as political corruption? That's going to be one of my questions tonight. And the other question tonight is, do you feel that this is a prime example of spiritual wickedness in high places and the powers of darkness, the rulers of the powers of darkness of this world? Do you think that this is a prime example of those things in action according to the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6? Is this what we're experiencing right now? Because we often talk about the spiritual wickedness in high places. We often talk about the rulers of the powers of darkness of this world. We talk about that. And we talk about that being in the form of judges, of police officers, and the whole nine, people in authority, you know, that are spiritually wicked. So some of you may say, yeah, this is a prime example. So I want to get your input on that tonight as well. And so that's what we're going to be asking. We're going to be asking some other questions as well tonight. And we want you all to chime in. Let us know what your thoughts are, okay? So we're going to bring Francetta on now, Francetta Mays. We're going to bring her on and say hello to her tonight. All right. How are you tonight, Francetta?
Hey, how's everyone doing tonight?
We are fine. We are fine. So excited to have you back on again. And, you know, this show tonight. We're going to have people with different views. And, you know, some people may get upset with some of the views of our guests, as well as my views and other callers' views. But keep in mind, everybody, that these views are allowed. Everybody's opinion is allowed. We have to agree to disagree. We have to respect each other's opinions because everyone has a voice, and we allow everyone to utilize their voices to speak and say what's on their minds. And all I ask tonight, please, people, no profanity. We don't want any profanity on News Forum because News Forum is not about profanity. So we want you guys to express yourself well without using profanity. And guess what? If I can do it, guess what, y'all can do it too, okay? So because I do use profanity when I get upset, you know, and I try hard not to, but I do. But guess what? I do control myself on News Forum, and I don't use profanity, and that's surprising. So if I cannot use it on Forum, guess what? I don't really need to use it ever, because I should be able to control myself without using profanity anytime if I can do it here on News Forum. So, yeah, but we want you all to express yourself. So, again, if you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web, you want to dial in tonight, 516-453-9133, and then you're going to press 1 tonight to talk live on the air with me and my guest. And ask a question, speak your mind. We want to hear from you tonight. And next week, we will be back on the gun violence in America, and also what's going on in Philadelphia with them trying to impeach DA Larry Krasner. So we'll have a lot of guests on next week that are in support of DA Larry Krasner, those that voted him in office and thinks that he's doing a great job. And then we're going to have those from the opposition that want to see him out of office. And we want to know what your thoughts are, and maybe in your town. Maybe there's a DA that you want out of office. We want to know about that, too. So that's next Sunday night right here on News Forum. All right. So we're going to just talk a little bit with Sergio really quickly, because Sergio, he was incarcerated, and he's out. And so I'm going to allow him just to briefly share how long he was incarcerated, what he was incarcerated for, how long he's been out. And he is now the editor-in-chief of a wonderful magazine. I believe it's called The Movement. And we're going to talk to him just for about 3 minutes on it. So, Sergio, tell everybody about yourself.
Okay. Thanks for having me, first and foremost. My name is Sergio Hyland, and I'm approaching 41 years of age, and I'm born and raised in Philadelphia, and I was released from prison in February 8th to be exact, just over 4 months ago, and I served about 21 years for homicide. I went to prison when I was very young. While I was incarcerated, I met people who helped me, who educated me, who taught me what it meant to be a human being, not just a man, and I started editing the Movement magazine, and a couple of years ago when the co-founder of the Human Rights Coalition, Kerry Shakabuna Marshall, who has been a guest on your program, was also one of my elders, who reached out to me and asked me would I want that honor, and I did. And so I've been doing that for a while. I'm also I work with several organizations in Philadelphia, and currently at my job, I am an organizer for the Working Families Party in Philadelphia. So that's what I have going on right now. That's a little bit of my story. It's a whole lot more in there, but it's not enough time. So that's
right.
Just
yeah, just a little snippet. So that was good for right now. And but, you know, I'm going to have you back on in the future, you know, for you to talk about your whole story. And, you know, because you're making a difference now, which is so very awesome and everything. And I'm happy to have you as a guest tonight. Okay. So right now we're going to listen to the Be a Voice, because you all are going to be voices tonight. The guests are being voices. My co-hosts tonight, we're all being voices. And every one of you that call in tonight to share and express yourself, you're being a voice tonight. And that's what the world needs, some voices. Do we all agree with what you're saying? Heck no, but you're still being a voice. All right? So take a listen to this Be a Voice snippet.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour, that's capital BEAVOICE, lowercase TOUR. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/capital BEAVOICE. Venmo.com/u/BAVOICE. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 111.
All right, everybody. So again, donate to Be a Voice, Cash App, Be a Voice Tour, with a $ in front of that. And then on Venmo, you don't really have to put in www. Just put in Be a Voice in all caps. All right. Cash App, Be a Voice Tour, Venmo, Be a Voice. All right. So we're going to get into these conversations tonight. And we're going to start off tonight with the abortion. So we're going to say ladies first, okay? So we're going to start off with the ladies topic tonight, but the men are also going to weigh in on this. And you all have already heard my spiel on it. And let's talk to Pastor Maeve, because she is a pastor. So we're going to listen to her views on the overturning of Roe versus Wade. All right, Pastor Maeve.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you, Chinchilla. It's always a blessing to be on your show. And I want to thank you for starting out with your testimony, because I'm going to piggyback. One of the things that we have to understand, there is I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. One of the things that we have to understand is that our reality is that one out of four girls and one out of six boys have been molested. And those are statistics. And when we start looking at post-traumatic stress disorder and the fact that so many people are affected and they become silent victims, and then there's a collateral damage that happens after that, because there's a behavior that happens at the conception of the violation. And so you have a lot of people that have just grown up, and they got that little kid inside of them that's damaged, that they still haven't came to that real reality that they have to go back and let that child know we made it. And they have to start getting some realistic treatment, some counseling. You have to be able to replace all of that negative, even the unforgiveness that you have grown so attached to holding on to. How do I know? I was raised at 15 by a man in my church that was 21. And during that time, there were people in the church that made me get up and say that I was sorry for getting pregnant out of wedlock. I found out when I was 7 months that this man had impregnated me. I was 7 months. So, you know, Dr. Chell wasn't a point of return. I had to wrap my 15-year-old head around the fact that I was getting ready to be forced to push something out of my body at that moment that I didn't have a choice. Now, my daughter, I love her. I love her. She's my oldest child. And once she came into this world, one of the things that I can honestly say is I'm glad abortion wasn't an option for me, because in retrospect, looking back at what I would not have had. Have we had our good times and bad? Yeah, absolutely. We are straight up mama and daughter. They're 16 years apart. But the reality is that you can't replace the love. So what do I think about Roe versus Wade? I think that a woman should have counseling and go through intense counseling, both spiritual counseling, and be able to get an idea of where she's at. Sometimes we have a tendency of making knee-jerk decisions over temporary feelings and emotions when the reality is that if we sit down and we really search our hearts and our souls, that if we really look at our circumstances, sometimes there's a blessing in the circumstance. I am a little confused personally about Roe versus Wade being overturned, but the death penalty is still on the table. That's got to be my concern. I'm just observing. I'm not real smart when it comes to a lot of stuff, but, you know, it just makes sense. If we're talking about life, let's talk about life.
Yes.
So I think that's all I've got. And, oh, wait, one more thing. You mentioned something about spiritual warfare, and that's where I come in as a pastor, absolutely. Everything that happens every day, we wrestle not against flesh and blood but principalities, and the enemy is using all kinds of division to separate good from evil. But if we really focus on just the fruits of the Spirit, And if we just focus on God, let's take all the mini gods off the table. Let's talk about the Creator. If we just focus on the Creator that created sky, grass, dirt, the stuff that man can't replicate, so we know he real. So if we just focus on the fact that he real, then we're able to spiritually know that we are in warfare. That's
yes.
All.
All right. That was very, very good, Pastor Mays, definitely. And, you know, the interesting thing and a very profound thing you said was the fact that they're supposed to be pro-life and wanting women not to be able to get an abortion. But yet the death penalty still exists here in the United States of America. There were people executed last month right here in this country. And people scheduled to be executed this month, and there's people scheduled to be executed around this country every single month of this year. And that's a shame. So where are the people, these pro-life people, where are they at now? Why aren't they standing up to fight against the death penalty? Although there are people out here that are, yes, committing crimes, there are people that need to be locked up and put away. Because they're serial killers, they're, you know, murderers, and heartless, just criminals that do need to be put away and do the time. But should they die by the hands of another human being? No, no. Let them die in God's time. You know, so, yeah, they can have life in prison without the possibility of parole for those who have not made a change while they're in prison. And then there are some people that just need to be put away forever, because no matter how long they stay in prison, they're going to come out and they're going to commit crimes again. And, you know, I am one that believes in second chances, but everybody does not deserve a second chance. Although I would love to say everybody deserves a second chance, because in a way they do, but for someone that you know is still criminal with what they're doing in prison, their actions in prison, the way they behave and talk and are going around still being violent, they don't deserve to come out right now. They're not ready to be amongst society. So they need to stay behind bars. But for those that have done their time and they have shown changes and made a difference in prison and they do not seem as though they're going to be violent on the outside, do they deserve a second chance? Yes, they do. Now, everyone that comes out with a second chance, all of them don't go back to prison, but we do have a lot of recidivism here in this country. And that's mainly because when people come out, there's a lot of states and a lot of cities that don't have enough resources for these men and women to get involved with so they can stay out of trouble. And, you know, but then we have those like who we're going to speak to next, okay, Mr. Sergio Hyland, who went to prison, did his time. He's out. He's making a difference. He does not plan on going back to prison. He has changed his life, and so many others that we have had on this show as well. A lot of the juvenile lifers, you know, went out and made a difference. But, yes, there are some people that came out, and they committed crimes and went back to prison. But that's not the scenario for everyone that has been incarcerated, okay? And we know that. All right, so let's bring on Sergio Hyland right now to get his views on this overturning of Roe versus Wade. Sergio, talk to me.
Yes. So it's a whole lot to unpack here with Roe v. Wade being overturned. And my personal belief, my personal stance on this is that we can take spirituality out of the question. Like, we can take that. That is not a factor in this decision. I know you have the pro-life people who claim that Roe v. Wade being overturned was a victory or a vindication for children. But if those people actually cared about children, then there would be more services for children. There would be universal pre-K. There would be daycare for everybody. There would be all sorts of other health care options. The fact of the matter is this decision is about control. It's about what's always been the case since the beginning of time. It's about patriarchy. It's about male supremacy, specifically white male supremacy. It's about being able to force a person to reproduce when you say they need to be reproducing. Abortion is a right because abortion is health care, and everybody has a right to health care. So the people who claim that this is a victory is really sad. It's really sad to see a group of nine people who are not even elected, but who are appointed by other people who are controlled by capital, and they're put in these positions to make these decisions that affect everybody's life. And I was talking today, and it's just like I compared it to slavery, where slave masters would need to produce more workers, so they rape their women slaves and force them to produce workers. And that's what's happening today. We have a shortage. You see, there's millions of job openings. The U.S. economy is still at the top, but it's decreasing. It's being chased down by China and other places. And the United States and its capitalist system is in dire straits, and it is taking desperate measures to produce workers, to control people, and to just keep their grip on power. That's what this boils down to. It's nothing to do with religion. It's nothing to do with spirituality. It's about power. That's it, plain and simple. A person, I just want to address something real quick. So when you every now and then you have a pro-life person who says, well, abortion is wrong, However, in the case of rape or incest, it's acceptable. And they point out those extreme situations to try to justify the very limited circumstances upon which an abortion is acceptable. My stance is this. A person has the right, whatever it is, to their body or with their body, as long as it's not affecting anybody else. If a person is having an abortion, it doesn't affect somebody else. That's that. And it should be left at that. Unless everybody agrees with allowing the so-called authorities to come into our homes and police our behaviors inside of our homes. If you're willing to go to that extreme, then I'll be willing to accept your argument for abortions being illegal, except under certain circumstances.
Okay. Very good. Good viewpoints there. And wow. So now you said something very interesting. You said that you don't see it as a religious issue or anything like that, but it's about power. And it is definitely about power because, you know, they're the people now. And so this is a scripture that I quoted, which talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, which are those people in authority, those nine Supreme Court justices that high and look low. And they made this a law. They overturned Roe versus Wade because of the power, the authority that they have. You know, in that same scripture, it talks about the principalities and the powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world. So they are the powers of the world here. And this is what they've made this decision for people to not have a, well, for women to not have a choice, not have a choice. So thank you so much, Sergio. And we're going to talk back to you again in a few moments when we get on to the issue of gun laws. All right, so far we've heard from Pastor Francetta Mays and we heard from Sergio Hyland on their views on the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And we're going to let some of you that are listening out there tonight to talk on these issues as well. You can share with us your feelings. But we do have one more person that we need to get their input on Roe versus Wade. And that's Mr. Brian Feagins. But before I talk to him, I just a little bit more. And this is about, again, the show tonight, Supreme Court, chaos or order in America. What are your thoughts? Is it order? Is it chaos? The overturning of Roe versus Wade and the new gun laws. Will Americans be afraid? Or will more be saved? What do you think about that? Disruption in our nation caused by these two very controversial issues. A woman's right to choose. That's right. Did they lose? Yeah, they lost. Okay, for now. And the new gun laws with its many laws. And the Supreme Court misused and abuse authority. Is this a prime example? I ask it again tonight. Powers of the darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Is this it action now? Because some people say, yes, this is like the last days we're living in. And I've been hearing that ever since I was a little girl, that we're living in the last days from all the old church mothers. The preachers as well, and but signs of the times. You know, it was so funny. Signs of the times are definitely here, because of all the things that we're seeing going on. There's been rumors of wars all around this world. You know, that's been happening forever as well. But now, look at what's going on now. All of these plagues. But plagues that are made by man, you know. But with these people that sit in power and like, make these laws, and we have to abide by them because we're supposed to abide by the laws of the land, you know, but do we agree with all these laws? No, because some of these laws, most of these laws are very flawed, okay? And so with that being said, let's speak with my controversial guest from WWDB, Mr. Brian Feagins. How are you tonight?
Hey, Chantella, how are you?
I am good. I am good. So talk to me tonight, Brian, about your thoughts on the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade.
Okay. I hope you guys can hear me pretty well. First off, I really would like to thank you for being, you know, open and, you know, vulnerable, sharing your story. And I know that in a lot of vulnerability lies power. Also, the pastor that mentioned that she chose to keep her daughter. So
yes,
there are always people that are out here that are trying to overcome the evil that has been poured onto them and into them. And we really have a male problem. So when I speak from a male that wants to protect women, I'm going to talk about my stance on abortion. So God came to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the fathers. So rape is never about sex. It's always about power. So when you don't know what to do with your power, you project it onto people. It's not even just rape. And then also, Zig Ziglar says you'll never make it as a wandering general. You must become a meaningful specific. Meaning,
hold on, Mr. Feagins. Hold on, Mr. Feagins. Get close to the mic. We can hardly hear you. Get closer to the mouth. I want everyone around the world to hear what you're saying tonight.
Can you hear me better now?
Outstanding results. Outstanding results.
Yep. Awesome. So, you'll never make it as a wandering general. You must become a meaningful specific. So when we lump everything in with an abortion, and then the counter argument is always to say, well, what about rape and incest? Rape, and it's never right. It's never, ever going to be right. I have my two sons in the car with me now. I was my mom's first child after the mass murder was legalized. So you kind of know where my stance is going on with it, but 1% is rape and 5% is through incest. So let's move them out of the way. I'm not going to talk about as it applies to that. I'm going to talk about how 70 million babies have been killed since abortion. I'm also going to talk about how her name is Laura McGorvey and Norma McGorvey. So how Roe versus Wade was started was she was pregnant with her third child, separated from her husband, and those two lawyers, Sarah Whittington and Linda Cuffey, told her I been abused or separated, actually told her to get an abortion, never, ever got the abortion. So two lawyers wrote a law from the Supreme Court, and only God is supreme, only supreme. And justice has been served when they reverse it. Because if it was based off of a lie from two and it caused all of this death, I liken it to if a woman is married to a man and she finds out he's been cheating on her for 10 years, would she not want to go and reverse her marriage, stating that because it was based off of a lie, I don't want to be married anymore? So my question to the people, rape and incest are out of the way. Passion with anger. My question to you is, if a man cheated on you and you found out that it was based off of lies while you were married or before, would you want to stay married? That's my same stance on abortion. And as I stated, 70 million children have been killed. At some point, we got to let the babies live, right? At some point. We can't just go around and try and kill people and based off of our decisions. So prevention is the best solution. If you have a principal penis and a virtuous vagina, you don't have to worry about reproducing with somebody that's not wanted. So I grew up in a housing project. I lost a baby in an ectopic pregnancy. My wife almost died. So I understand the severity of having children but we have to eat better. We have to get our body in optimal shape when we have these children, and we have to have our mind, and you got to stop opening yourself up to men that are not worthy of reproducing. A woman is the wisdom of God. I was at my son's graduation, and the valedictorian is mostly a woman. So a woman, when she speaks to a man, she activates his king codes. So, ladies, if you're speaking to a man and it doesn't produce any kingly honor or order, occupation, respect, discipline, evaluation, reproduce. That's the acronym for order that I gave. So if you're in front of a man and you can't activate his king codes, why are you letting him into your private place, your secret garden? So I'm not talking about rape or incest. I'm just talking about the 98.5% of the people. Yeah, the 98.5% of the people who still think it's okay for abortion, and then they say it's a woman's right to choose. Well, did not the man go half on the baby? The woman carries the baby for 9 months. A man carries the seed for as long as he's alive. So we have to protect women by becoming more virtuous. Stop putting your little dirty penis in everything that's around or comes around that you're aiming at. So that's where the virtue comes in. It comes in having men that protect women, where they say, hey, listen, if I don't think she's worthy of having a baby, and I'm going to be the provider and a protector and a progenitor and the foundation of the house, that's what father means, you should abstain. But it's also a woman's responsibility to say, hey, I don't want no children by this guy. So I think what needs to happen is, Lady Chinchilla and the pastor, you guys need to have more of a voice up front about the pros and cons of abortion from a woman's standpoint. But also, man was sent to protect the garden. The woman is the garden. When she starts to become ripe, her fruit starts to bear, her breast, and she gets hair in places to show she's ready for fertile ground. So that's what real men do. They protect women. They don't say, hey, I'm going to get you pregnant. Now I want you to get an abortion, or now I'm going to leave you out to dry. So that's just my stance on it. I'm going to pause here and let some other people come in. But I am happy that they overturned it, because it was based off of a lie. She never got the abortion. So
wow.
Did anyone else know that? Did anyone else know that? I'm talking about as far as listeners. She never got the abortion. So if a man is lying to you, sis, and women initiate 7 to 8 out of 10 divorces, and if it's not for infidelity or abuse, you lied when you came to the altar. And I think, I heard Miles Monroe say this, if you want to get a divorce, you should have to go back to everybody who witnessed your divorce, your marriage, to grant the divorce. So women want to get divorced for every little thing because it was based off of a lie. A man didn't protect me. He didn't do this, that, or the other. So why is it a double standard where you're now saying, it's a woman's right to choose? No, it was based off of a lie. Anybody can do the research. That's what I read.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Bryant. Thank you so much with what you said. And so we have Bryant Vegans happy that Roe versus Wade was overturned. Pro-life man. And, you know, he brought it from another angle and, you know, from a man's viewpoint. And, Bryant, I do want to ask you one more question before we go to our caller. We're going to take a few callers before we get into the gun laws. But as a man, because you said, you know, it takes two to make a baby and to conceive, so it takes that female and the male. And so with that being said, do you think that the male that, you know, contributed to the conception of that unborn child, do you think he should have a right to say, or in any input at all, to say, well, hey, look, this is my baby. I don't, because you already said that the man is supposed to support the baby and support, that was to support the female during that time. But do you think that man should step up and say, look, this is my baby too. I don't want you to kill my baby. I want my baby. Or, hey, I want you to have an abortion. I don't want you to have that baby. Because there's some men that want the woman to have an abortion when the woman does not want to. And then there are some men that want that woman to have the baby, but she doesn't want to. So what or how much input or, I mean, should they look at that father to see what he also wants?
So if he was a good man, the woman would be submissive enough and she would receive his seed, and there would be no doubt that she wouldn't want to keep it. So the answer, every answer problem lies within the problem. So a woman is an incubator. Learned this from Dr. Miles Monroe. Whatever you give a woman, he will give you more back. So if I give you love and you get pregnant with my seed, why would you not want to have it if I'm righteous?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why would
right.
you not want to have it? So the answer is simple. If he had enough input already, she wouldn't even be considering an abortion. If he already had the input, if he already was what he was supposed to be, she wouldn't have that. One other thing that I seem to get a little confused is a woman wants a man to protect. It's no problem when he controls the flowers that he gives her, when he controls the money that he gives her, when he controls the gift that he gives her, when he controls the house that he gives her. But now women are saying, you can't tell me, you can't control my body. Well, everything that a man does, he's trying to control what a woman, the time that he's going to get from her. So once again, it's always about power and control, but it's the intent behind it. The intent, people have to get pregnant with intent before they have the baby. So that's just my thoughts. I'm going to pause. And ladies and gentlemen, don't confuse passion with anger. I'm just very passionate about it. I hope I don't sound, you know, aggressive or militant or whiny or anything, or like I know everything. But I just don't understand, if two people come together, why are we talking about, oh, we don't want a baby? It's half of two beautiful people. So, and we've killed enough children. We've killed 70,
yeah.
We've killed 70 million children. I mean, at some point, it's got to register. And most of them are black and brown kids, just like with the guns. So I saw this one thing that says, free to carry, a guy with a gun, and then a woman not free to carry. Both of those are killing brown babies. 900 brown babies aborted every day. And if you think you're going to change the Supreme Justices, they make the highest laws of the land. Quick question. How can 13% of people that are black override 50% or 80% or whatever, especially when you're killing 900 black babies a day? I'm done.
All right. Thank you, Brian. We're going to take a call in just a moment, but Pastor Mays has something that is really pressing that she would like to say before we end this portion of the Roe versus Wade, but the callers are going to speak on that. Pastor Mays, go ahead and say what you want to say.
Thank you so very much. I just wanted to make a point about the generational patterns of brokenness and the fact that each community has got to participate. Each household, each entity, we are they, and we have to participate because we're still dealing with 1 out of 4 and 1 out of 6. When you're dealing with broken people, you're not dealing with women and men. You're dealing with males and females. They haven't gotten what they need to become women. They haven't gotten what they need to be men. Because they're still scared little children that were violated, that they didn't get the tools or the conversation, and they're still afraid. And what we get is that post-traumatic stress disorder, knee-jerk decisions and actions that are not thought out. And so you have extremes where people put Band-Aids on gunshot wounds and everybody's smiling, saying, praise the Lord. No, I'm not that pastor. I'm the pastor that's real about life. And what we've got to do is we've got to realize that if you're in any vicinity with 1 in 4, 10, 20 women, chance, count them, men, count them. If they were to be honest, that little boy inside of them, you'll see it tear up in their eyes. I do it all the time. It works. People are broken,
yes.
And we haven't given them the tools. And I'm sorry, it does revert back to the enemy knowing what God had planned for us in the long run. That's why we can't retreat. And this is not a drill. This is warfare. This is the battlefield. And if we want to look at it as anything else, it's a distraction. We
yes.
have to keep the main thing, the main thing. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their evil ways, then I will heal their land. Period. I'm done.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Mays. And we're going to be talking to you in a few moments when we go on the gun laws. And, you know, that Second Chronicles 7:14, I believe that's the scripture that she quoted. And the key part is there, you have to pray. If we pray and turn from our wicked ways, so many people don't pray today. And you have to get back to prayer. That's something else we talked about a few weeks ago when they took prayer out of the school, which is such a disgrace. And yet, all of these religious church people out here that won't go and fight to get the prayer back in the school, that's a mission that we're going to have to get on. We have to get on that mission to get prayer back in these public schools because it's needed. God is needed. God is needed. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. And, again, those of you listening tonight via the World Wide Web or that are still watching on Facebook and you want to talk tonight, 516-453-9133. Dial that number and talk to us. Tell us what you think about the overturning of Roe versus Wade and about the new gun laws that we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. All right, let's take our caller. Caller, you're live on the air with Chinchilla J. How are you tonight?
Boy, Chinchilla, what's going on, girl? You know, I had to come over here and just sit with you for just a few minutes since you Dallas me in that Dallas. You know what I'm saying? I got to come over here and sit with you for a minute to see what you're going to do next time. So next year when we add this challenge, I ain't trying to beat you. I'm trying to stand beside you so we can have a tie. You know what I'm saying? You know that. You know what it is. But, yeah, on this abortion thing.
Mr.
You know,
Boston.
You know, yeah, you know that's right. That's me in the building. You know, to overturn Roe Wade, wow. That was crazy. I had my fingers crossed because I have daughters that's not married, you know, and I wonder how they would feel if they got pregnant and didn't want to have a child. You know what I'm saying? But for the court to basically say to go get an abortion is a criminal act, you know what I'm saying? My take on it is, overturning Roe versus Wade is not going to do anything to stop abortion. What it's going to do is it's going to make abortion less safe. And to prevent a woman or a young girl who don't want to have a baby access to an abortion, doesn't that, you know what I'm saying? Just because the court says so, that don't mean that's going to stop anything. You know, it's not going to reduce the number of abortions. It's just going to force a pregnant woman to go somewhere, cross state lines, or go somewhere where the abortion is unsafe. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say it like it is. The court is no longer a defender. Seize personal woman's right to pregnancy. Because the reality of it is, and any woman will tell you, pregnancy is one of the most intimate decisions at that baby that a woman will ever make. You know what I'm saying? That parallels, if any, it parallels one that a constitutional order that prides its personal dignity and autonomy that requires individuals to be able to make that decision themselves. It's a simple concept that a government that's supposed to be committed to respecting fundamental woman's liberty might make them place a high premium on individual prerogatives to make the most intimate and personal choice. A woman needs personally, and I'm saying this personally, I'm trying to stay neutral in this thing. A woman should have a reasonable opportunity to choose whether to have that baby or terminate that baby. nobody else to be able to make that decision. Government, nobody. You know, so my question now is, since the Supreme Court has turned it over to the state, how much further will the court go? How far will the state go, given the right political circumstances that could result in the abridgment of rights to be considered basic? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the Republicans have stacked the court with justices that are intemperate. They are disastrous at making decisions. You know what I'm saying? And this overturning should wake up all of America to this reality that we, men, women, and the people that be that have power to do so, defend the woman's rights, or they are allowed to do everything that they have fought for in the last 50 years. And that's all I got.
Wow, thank you so much, Mr. Boston, for calling in tonight to weigh in on this issue. I really thank you for calling in and speaking on this. And Mr. Boston, he is a host on this network as well, everyone. And tell everybody when your next show comes on.
The 12th or 13th, I'm not sure. I think it's the 12th. I'm going to say the 12th. Okay. That's going to be my next show.
Okay, awesome. Again, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Okay, we're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum with Chinchilla. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Chinchilla? How are you doing, Pastor Francetta Mays? Thank you all for letting me call in tonight. This is Prentice,
yes.
Prentice Pond. And
yes, hi.
I'm doing fine. I have three girls, and first and foremost, I don't think that men should be deciding anything that has to do with a woman, period, point blank. We have no place in telling a woman what to do. But furthermore, I think the issue about abortion, everybody is so focused on abortion when they really need to be focused on what the Supreme Court has really done. They have really taken a monumental case and have overturned it. So what comes next? Clarence Thomas has already said there's other rights that cases that we feel like we should go back and rehash out now. So are you talking about, as he said, the gays with the same-sex marriage, they need to revisit that and all that. So now they're, since they've overturned a monumental case, now they're going to go back and look at other cases. So it all starts, you know, they start taking away a woman's right to reproduce, then they look up and then down the line, a woman's right to vote will be gone. Then you look up and say, well, how did that happen? Well, it happened because y'all let them take the woman's right to reproduce away. So now you look back and they say, well, dang, why black people can't vote now? All because they snuck in taking that vote away from you, those rights away from you too. So then time goes back. You know, they say if you live long enough, you'll start repeating the cycle of repeat itself. So now we're going in reverse. And a lot of people in Oklahoma don't know this, but the governor just signed a law into effect that if you haven't filed a post-conviction within a year after the last time you filed something, then you can't file a post-conviction anymore. So that really just limits your chance of getting back in court now. If you find other evidence 5 or 6 years from now, you can't even use it because you haven't filed nothing within a year. So my thing is, like, I just took American federal government class, like, last semester, and we talked about this issue and all that. It's not a man's place to govern over a woman. The discussion we had was about my case in the class. Like, how are y'all going to take my right to defend myself in my home and take that right away from me when everybody else has that right? That's the reason why I'm standing up the way I'm standing up and fighting the system where I'm fighting the system, because you're not going to give me that right, then you're going to take it away when it's beneficial for you. And I just don't.
You know, I
got to
come on.
Prentice,
I got to come on. Yes. And usually I'm going to try to hold my peace all night, and, you know, of course it's only going to delay when it goes here. I got to say this. Prentice always gets me, he steps on my toe, and I'm ready to talk. First of all, to all of our no. It's all your fault, and I'm glad. Let me explain something to you, all you that's listening to me right now. There's only one reason why this Roe versus Wade was even done, period, and that is to protect the rights of and all the folks out there that do not get offended on this. This is my fact, but you can claim it as opinion. Roe versus Wade was to protect the white womb. Now, let me say this one more time, and I don't want anybody to get offended, but it's protecting the white womb. There are white women that are not procreating at an enormous rate. This change was not for anybody else but the protection of white supremacy, once again. That's why, can't you see? We're talking about things that are relevant, but see the total picture. It's the protection mm-hmm. of the white womb to make sure that they can procreate in a most seditious way, you know, to stay on par. Because you know that most minorities are over. That's why the things you see chaos in the street, gentrification and all that. And what Prentice said tonight is very, very important. You know, what else would they take? You know. Well, is it really right for the court to defend civil rights when, you know, you have the right to do what you want to do? But then if you call, you know, start doing it, you know, legally, then people say, no, you can't come into my restaurant. Or, no, you can't come to my hotels. We go right back to our system. It's a lot. I have no comment on Roe versus Wade, either life or choice. I'm telling you fact. The reason why this was done was to protect the white womb. Anybody have comments and suggestions to our wonderful program, you can contact me directly, period. And I'll say worse things to you on my email. And now back to our program.
Yeah. So, all right.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Go ahead, Prentice.
Okay. So my thing is about the whole situation is you're being a hypocrite. How are you pro-life? How do you want to save an embryo that hasn't been born, hasn't been exposed to Earth, hasn't even had no type of character, knows nothing about anything? But on the other hand, you're for the death penalty. You're being a hypocrite. You'll kill something that ain't never been born, but for the person that's done lived this miserable life on Earth that may have done something to get on death row because you may not know, but you're ready to take his life away. I don't understand it. To me, you're being hypocritical. You're either going to do one or the other. You can't have both. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to have both. And I'm with him. He, you know, white people aren't producing kids, so now they'll control the population by controlling us. It's just smoke and mirrors. It wasn't about Roe versus Wade. It's about we need to look past Roe versus Wade. It's about the rights that they've taken. They've taken one of the highly monumental cases and overturned it. If we get away with this, let's see what else we can get away with. We'll just sneak this in and see if we can get away with it because we got away with what if they go back and change Brown versus Education? Where are we at then? How did that happen? Because you was too busy focused on the smoke and mirror that they put in front of you while they was sitting there nitpicking, trying to pull the other cases apart.
Yeah. Yeah, very true, Prentice. Well, I thank you so much for calling in tonight, Prentice, to weigh in on this. Prentice is the father of three girls, and, you know, and right now he's wrongfully incarcerated in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, and yet he still is concerned about the issues and causes that are going on out here, you know, and that's a great thing. Thank you so much, Prentice, tonight, and we're going to take another caller, and we're going to soon be going into the gun laws because we have to get Caroline on to talk about gun laws. But still, press that one, and we're going to try to get to all our callers tonight. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum with Chinchilla. How are you tonight?
I'm really disturbed right now, woman of God, but I'm going to do my best to be swift. I know a lot of people want to chime in on this subject. If you don't mind, do you mind if Huni Barkatoon express myself right quick?
Express yourself. Yes, express yourself.
Okay, well, I want to express myself, and I want any so-called man or male out there to think they're going to rape one of my daughters and live. They got another thing coming. I'm not worried about no man with a long black dress on or a woman. Trust me on that one. Okay, now I just did my little public service thing there. First of all, it's no excuse. What a woman decides to do with her body is her right. You know, this lawless society that man and mankind have took control over all over the world, especially over here in the United States, I'm going to bring it right back home, was never done to our benefit. And also, let me refute one of the greatest bald-faced, pale-faced lies ever told. It ain't never been, from the beginning of time to this time, where it was more occasions on this planet, United States or anyone else, compared to the melanated people. Now, you got a lot of people who can look in the mirror with the Tiger Woods syndrome who see anything other than a black or association with Africans. Yeah, a lot of that's going on. But when you really, really look at it, they are the minority, and we always have been the majority and always will be. Now that I cleared that up, I got some good news for you, woman of God. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I want to say congratulations, WBNN Linear New Host of the Year, Class of 2021, Dr. Chinchilla J, on your WBNN all-time connection record with your 56th all-time with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late Hall of Famer.
Wow. Thank you so much, Brother Hooney. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's some great news. Thank you so much. And that's Brother Hooney Bakatoon, who is also a host on this network, everybody. And he comes on every first Thursday of each, I can't say every first Thursday, but every 4 weeks on the Thursday. So it's usually that first week of a new month, or that if it's 5 weeks in a month, it's something like that. So when is your next show, Brother Hooney?
It'll be this coming Thursday, the 30th, I'll be speaking about my methods of motivation. Very, very interesting subject matter or advancements, I like to call it. That'd be 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. I'm the host of We Will Away. Thank you so much. Love you.
Love you too, Brother Hooney. Take care. All right. So, everybody, Roe versus Wade, something that's just very controversial. So different people with different views. And, again, different people with different views, and a woman's rights have been taken away where she can no longer choose. Boy, wow. And we're going to now get into these gun laws, and I know Sergio wanted to jump back in on this Roe versus Wade. We may have a couple minutes to hit back on it in a few moments, but I definitely want to hop on to the gun laws right now, simply because of my dear friend Caroline Turner. Again, she's an attorney, and she gets up very early on Monday mornings to do depositions, and she has court. So she'll need to be getting off soon. So I want to get her on here now to talk about gun laws. So we're switching right now, changing gears from Roe versus Wade to these new gun laws that the Supreme Court has laid down for us now. All right, Caroline. Caroline?
All right, Caroline is unmuted. I know she's still there. Caroline? Okay, here, hold on 1 second, please. And we're going to get Caroline on right now. Here she is.
Okay. Okay. Caroline?
Yes.
Okay, hi. All right, so
hi,
with the gun laws that the Supreme Court, the new gun laws that they have now made last week, what are your thoughts on these gun laws? It's really crazy to me because, we always had, the states, every state had different gun laws that they have in their own states. And then even in some states, you had cities that were treated a little bit differently with gun laws. Like, say, for instance, in the state of Pennsylvania, you know, people can carry their weapons, you know. And, however, in Philadelphia, you cannot, okay? So Philadelphia was treated so very differently than the rest of Pennsylvania. And, you know, a lot of people thought that was unfair. And then there's people that thought it was unfair for some states to be able to carry, have a license to carry, and, you know, conceal weapon and all. And then there are people that say, well, you know, I wish my state didn't do that. You shouldn't have a license to carry, and, you know. And so every state had different gun laws. And me, I'm like a firm believer that if there's a law, and this is supposed to be the United States of America, then every state in this country should have the same laws, like whether it's gun laws or whether it's any type of laws, even with sentencing for prison terms for certain crimes, where you have states that differ with the sentencing guidelines. So all those things, to me, if this is supposed to be the United States of America, every state should have those same laws across the board. So now we have the gun laws now, the new gun laws, and the Supreme Court, they're telling, you know, the states they want them to start implementing these new laws and all that stuff, and those that don't, there's consequences to be suffered and different things like that. So what are your thoughts on the new gun laws, Caroline?
I think it's really sad that at a point when we're trying to come to a reckoning about gun control in this country and where there's been so many horrendous mass shootings, that we would get a decision by the Supreme Court on New York laws that were very sensible. You had to, in order to carry a concealed weapon in public, you were allowed to carry, you were allowed to have guns in your houses and protect yourself in your houses, but you weren't allowed to carry them in public in a concealed way unless you had a good reason that you could articulate to get your permit. Well, now they've decided that anybody, really, you don't have to have a good reason anymore unless you're noticeably mentally deranged or a felon. You can get a concealed carry permit. And the idea that you'd be on the subway with people carrying guns is horrendous to me. The idea that you could be in a car driving and somebody gets annoyed because of the way you're driving or something, and they've got guns in their car and they're allowed to, is horrendous to me. It just gives so much room to people who will go off, you know, for whatever reason. It'll mean that there's just many more guns in public. And I just think it's, I mean, as a caller earlier said, you know, it looks like the Supreme Court is taking some very major steps to undo a whole load of precedent that has been around for years. These gun laws, the decision this week on Thursday, at the same time, incidentally, that we had the beginnings of a Senate bipartisan gun safety bill passed.
Right.
But this Bruin decision, you know, it feels like now every other state can have a go at trying to loosen gun laws, certainly for people who probably shouldn't be carrying guns. You know, I think the majority of us shouldn't be carrying guns in public.
Yeah.
It's not cool. I'm not using a legal expression here at all. It is not cool. We're just going to have masses of guns in public, which will make it even more perilous, you know, to travel the streets. Yes, there's one thing about self-defense, that there's quite a lot of about everybody who might have a bad temper or might be having a bad day or might, you know, Breyer in his defense talked about the statistics in this country of gun deaths. And she was kind of mocked by Alito in his majority decision, saying, you know, what's it got to do with anything? It's got to do with everything. The highest cause of death for people under the age of 18 is gunshot wounds, is dying by guns. And yet now we might even, you know, the last two mass shootings were done by people who were aged 18, and they would still be able to get a concealed permit in if they were in New York, and do all sorts of crazy things. I mean, I don't understand it. They got rid of the two-step test that used to be that, you know, you looked at the history of the Second Amendment and then you decided, you know, the strict scrutiny test, whether, you know, state interest outweighed somebody's Second Amendment right to bear arms. And they've gotten rid of the second step. It's now, according to Justice Thomas, it's now just history that counts, and it's cherry picking which parts of history they want to count. So
yeah,
I don't understand it. I think it's very dangerous. And
Caroline, it's going right back to 1889. We all live now in Dodge City. We live in Dodge City now. I'm a person, being a person that served my country, you know, everybody knows. I had no problem, you know, with bearing arms. But however, the people that they're not sensible like I am are out here, man, committing crimes. And now it's to the point where sensible people, they're trying to take the rights of sensible people that bear arms. And like you said, you know, you are a lawyer, you know, Esquire. And you know the ramifications of these things happening because on the gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost to the point where now you're saying full reign. You know, you're talking about like traveling public transportation. You don't know who has and what has, and if someone has a bad day, they might want to just shoot you. And so that's the problem of what we're going through right now. And Chichil, this is a great show, man, because I came on twice. You know what I mean? You wait till Ngozi time.
Yeah. And you know what I've been saying since they passed this law, when it first came down on Thursday, it was like, it blew my mind. It really blew my mind, you know, and like you said, Caroline, you know, with all the mass shootings that have just taken place this year alone and all of the killings by guns in Philadelphia this year alone, you know, we're like over 500, getting close to 600 murders, and, you know, there's been over 1,000 gun injuries here in Philadelphia and all across this country. There's gun violence every single day. And at this point in time, we were looking for something to be done to control this gun violence in America. But yet, they made it easier for people to be able to pack, go out packing. And, you know, and what really, you know, me, because I talk to so many people about this, and every time I just picture the Western days when they would have those gun shootouts, and there used to be an amusement park called Six Gun Territory, and, you know, the guys, they come out, you get on somebody's nerves, and, okay, you both pull out your guns, and you have a shootout. And this is what's going to start happening, and then you have these inner cities that are already suffering with so much gun violence every day, and then for people to be out here just able to carry, it's going to be a total nightmare. Things are going to get worse in this country. We're going to see more gun deaths. And doing it this way cannot help anything. And so I was just so totally blown away by their decision. And, you know, then the next day, President Biden signs the bipartisan bill, you know, trying to combat the gun violence, you know, a gun safety legislation. And, you know, this was legislation, the first major one that has been passed by Congress in almost 30 years. And it's sad that it took that long, But still, this his bill does not really help matters because, you know, he talks about people that were in domestic abuse situations. They can't get a gun, okay? But, it, you know, it's something, but it's not much, okay? It's not much, but it's better than what the Supreme Court did, okay, to allow people to carry weapons, gun weapons, out in public. And they want the United States, all the states here, to institute those laws into their legislation. And if they don't, they can suffer some consequences. But anyway, this bill with Biden, it passed the House 234-193 on Friday. And, wow, it's crazy. Because, like I said, it's nothing that I want to see them tell you, okay, no automatic weapons, you know, no magazine clips, none of that stuff. And people that are under 25, I don't feel as though they should have a gun because we always say that a child's mind does not fully develop until the age of 25. So
right.
If that is the case, then they should not be able to purchase a gun until they're 25. Because as we have been seeing, that most of these deaths and shootings have been occurring by people under the age of 25. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead now and on... oh, Caroline, did you have anything else you wanted to say, love?
No, no, I'm just, like everybody, I think, is a little bit stunned by these rulings from the Supreme Court. I think it's eviscerating a lot of our precedents and a lot of our the things that we've come to believe in as a society because we've now got people who have very strong feelings that are against a lot of the majority opinion on certain issues, and it's very sad.
Yeah, it is very sad. Well, thank you so much, Caroline. I know you have to get up early, so if you have to hop off, I understand. If you want to stick around to the end, that'll be cool. All right, so I love you, and I will talk to you soon if you're going to be getting off, and if you're not going to be getting off, hey, I still love you. Either way, thank you so much, Caroline. We're going to go now to Brian Feagins, and he's going to give us his views on these new gun laws. Brian?
Hey, how are you? Can you guys hear me again good?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not really privy on what happened with the gun laws, but just like
No, you're fading again, Feagins.
You're fading out.
You're closer to the mic.
Here we go. I'm here. So I don't know much about it, but here's my sentiments. I was licensed to carry back in 1997. My father was a police officer. I let my guns go in 2002. The pastor mentioned it early. She talked about the fruit of what's bothering people with abortion and the way we need to heal. So I don't know much about the new law, but what I will tell you is that we have a bad male problem. Same thing with abortion and rape. We have a bad male problem. A man with a gun in his hand, he wants to feel the recoil because he doesn't know the power that he contains already. So one of my good Haitian friends had he had his target up from he was shooting and he saw he hit all of the spots pretty good. And I told him, I said, well, listen. It's a sense of false power when you have a gun, because if you can't express and exchange love with somebody, why do we want to kill so much? Why do we want guns to kill? Why do we want to abort babies? Why are we so obsessed with death? So men are the issue. Once again, God came to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the father. Women don't kill like that. It's bad male testosterone. It also is men trying to control laws so they can have leverage and power. Nothing wrong with leverage unless you don't have any. J. Paul Getty, the first recorded billionaire, said, I'd rather have 1% of 100 people's efforts than 100% of my own. Leverage is not the issue. It's when it's not balanced. It's when it's not fair. So you want to carry a gun because you're scared that somebody else is going to do stuff. And also with this, the mental health state of people from the pandemic and Donald Trump being the boogeyman and all of the deaths that we had and more people killing and the uptick in violence. I'm in Minnesota right now. I was smack dab in the middle of everything that happened with George Floyd, me and my sons, boarded up the place. I'm smelling smoke when I come out. With all of the incidents that we've had in the last couple of years, nobody needs a gun because they're too volatile. Mm. So, but you have a bunch of men that want to hold on to their guns. And the brother mentioned something earlier about hypocrisy. This is related. So I saw a big one of my friends, a very good friend of mine, he sent me a picture of all of the people protesting the actual Roe versus Wade overturning at Philadelphia. Big picture. It probably was 1,000 people or more down there. Now, Brother Jamal, he actually tries to speak against gun violence all the time. 499 murders in 2021, 499 in 2020, 566 murders 2021, and we're at 285 and counting now. So I don't understand how everybody will go and protest Roe versus Wade for the ability to kill future babies, and you're not down City Hall protesting all of the gun violence that's in Philadelphia for women that are losing current babies. My brain thinks different. It's not judgment. It's just a tough question. Because if you keep buying the fear that everybody's selling you and that it's always about white supremacy and all this other stuff, it's just about power. Cain killed Abel first. There was no other race around.
Yeah.
It's always right. About power and bad male leadership. Rape, guns, drugs, thievery, all of the crime. So what has to happen is men have to have a change of heart, and it takes men like the other brother that's been locked up. The other brother last week that came a little fussy at the end about my acronyms, that's been locked up for 18.9 years, and he got out. I still love him. Solutions. But you brothers that have been locked up can talk to the young men that can keep them out of that way. I've never been locked up. I can go at a different way. So many hands make the load light. And also, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. So if you got a bunch of people just passing down laws and they have no relationship with the people, it's never going to work because people are going to rebel. That's
right.
The nature of man to rebel because he wants to be in control.
Right.
So, Brother Fagans, I got to come on. I got to come on and say something to Brother Fagans. Brother Fagans, you said everything that I've been trying to say for the last almost 10 years in radio. I always say that, you know, people came out for Black Lives Matter and all that, da 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 da. But no one marches in their communities when little Ray Ray and little Shay Shay gets killed in front of you. You saw Ray Ray. You saw Shay Shay.
You knew them. Right?
Sometimes you hold on. Sometimes they come into your house and you feed them. How dare you cowards to march for things that are not prudent? And again, this show, I remember I was the first ever host of News Forum way back in 2013, right, Chinchilla? So, I'm going to come on because, you know, our good doctor does an outstanding, beyond outstanding job. And words can I even put in the manifest of what she does for us at WBNN. But now I'm speaking. We have a right to be right. And to do right is to always make sure that we're protesting for right. And we know, again, and I told you the agenda, and I know I might stepped on people's toes, and we are a rainbow network, but I say again, and I gain and again, like Dr. Chinchilla always says, that it was an agenda for this Roe versus Wade, and we're protesting the wrong things as a certain, you know, segment of people out there in this world. We need to do a better job in our priorities, and now back to Chinchilla J.
Maybe they're trying to sow seeds of discord between brown communities. Maybe that could be it.
Yes,
divide and conquer. So,
yeah, exactly.
That could be somebody issues.
Well, Brian,
go ahead.
I thank you so much. I want to get Serge back in here to give his views on the gun laws, because we're like almost getting down to the wire here. So I definitely want to hear what he has to say on gun laws tonight. And I appreciate you so much, Bryant, and all of your input and your knowledge and, you know, and your controversy. You know, I love it. All right. Serge, what do you have to say about the gun laws?
So guns in America, me personally, I believe that everybody has the right to own a gun if they want to own a gun. The problem with this recent ruling is that what's going on in our community right now is not an issue of gun ownership. It's an issue of responsible gun ownership. And I listened to your other guests on the program, and it's like really difficult to hear these things, because I think that if it were up to them, would we be living back in the 1600s, you know, where a woman is relegated to scrubbing floors, having babies, and making sure that the food is on the table. And everybody keeps taking this thing back to scripture. And that's the problem with what's going on in society, especially with my generation and the younger generation, is that we don't want to hear that scripture. You know, we want to hear what's practical. This is why black participation in the church amongst youth are at the lowest historically, and because it's a bunch of judgmental stuff going on. It's a bunch of people pointing fingers at the younger people and saying, you're wrong. And for some of your guests to just basically say, like, it's a man's job to control a woman, to tell a woman what to do this, do that, like, as if a woman is not intelligent enough or strong or powerful enough to have agency over their own body, their own lives, and their own futures. It's just really sad and disgusting to hear so-called responsible black men speak like this. That's the first thing. Secondly, with gun ownership, gun issue going on, with all the people that so-called that's upset about so-called black-on-black crime, they want to point fingers at the youth in the community who are participating in this violence, but they are not pointing a finger at the people who are creating the culture responsible for the violence that's being perpetuated in our community. This is an issue of capitalism, white supremacy. It's a such thing as... There is a such thing as black white supremacy, and a lot of black people who claim to stand for black values are really espousing white supremacist values, and they use religion to spew that stuff into our communities. And it's sad, man. It's just like, this is why I can't wait until, you know, they just burn out and just move on and let the next generation take over. You know, Franz Fanon said in The Wretched of the Earth, in The Wretched of the Earth, he stated that each generation must, out of relative obscurity, discover its mission, fulfill it, or betray it. That's the fact of the matter. So you're either going to reach into the community and help, or get out the way and let people discover their mission and either succeed or fail. That's what it boils down to. We talk about the homicide levels, homicide rates reaching historic levels in Philadelphia, but nobody is making the correlation between COVID-19 and this gun violence. You know, there are people out here who are hurting, who are struggling, and the government, whose obligation it is to take care of the citizens, are abandoning their citizens, and they are leaving children to defend themselves and take care of their communities and their families. Then you have an issue that nobody has really brought up called mass incarceration. One of the things I learned when I was in prison is that I wasn't even yet 40 yet, and I had guys in their 20s and 30s calling me old head. When I was 20, my old heads were 60 and 70 years old. Mass incarceration is taking people, is taking black men off the streets at historic rates, alarming rates, and it is causing young people to look up to young people, and there's no maturity there. And so, yeah, you can blame a young person for making immature decisions, but why is a person making that decision? They don't have the guidance. Why don't they have the guidance? Because the people who would typically be there to guide them are not around, and it's not their fault. And so it's a lot of blame being placed. Gun ownership is a personal decision. People have that right to protect themselves, to protect their families and their property, et cetera. It's not a problem. Nobody is screaming about it in the white communities because, you know, in Kentucky and in Arkansas and in these southern states, you have 5- and 6-year-olds getting 22 rifles for their birthday so they can go out and hunt rabbits. They learn about these things at very young ages as a part of their culture, and they get it. You know, when guns are put into the black community, it's also it's accompanied with the so-called gangster culture. You know, I learned from one of my elders who was a former Black Panther, who I'm very proud to have learned under, who has recently passed away. His name is Russell Maroon Schultz, and he taught us about gangsterism. He taught us about adhering to this, you know, to this stereotype that, you know, the only way to have dignity and self-respect is to have material possessions, to be the toughest person, to be the most violent person. And you could blame a person for thinking like that, but it's not their fault because they are immersed in that culture that was there even before they were. So the blame that's being placed is the exact reason why a person like that cannot come into our community and have anybody listen to them. Your guest, I don't know his name, Brian from WWDB or whatever, like he can't come, it with all due respect, he can't come into Philadelphia and get a bunch of young people to listen to him. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you. Because as soon as he starts talking that stuff, they're going to walk out. You can't relate to the culture. You don't know the culture. You're too busy criticizing and then trying to throw the Bible at somebody. People don't want to hear that. You know, and I'm not against religion. That's not my thing. I just understand the culture, and this is why people are rebelling against that message. They don't even want to hear it.
Yeah. I thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sergio, for your input tonight on the Roe versus Wade and also on the gun laws. Thank you so much for all you've said, and I'm sure that gives our listeners a lot to think about tonight. From all of our guests tonight, from Brian Fegans and also from Pastor Francetta Mays. Now, I want to share something. There is a Republican congresswoman, okay, who got up at one of the Trump rallies, and she made a speech or a statement talking about how she felt about Roe versus Wade, that decision. So her name is Representative Mary Miller, and she's a Republican out of Illinois. And here's what she said. President Trump, on behalf of all the MAGA patriots that's making America great again, okay, I want to thank you for the historic victory for white life in the Supreme Court yesterday, okay? Then she raised her hand to the crowd, you know, so the crowd can start cheering her on, okay? And they were applauding like crazy. And mind you, she said, white life, okay? But then her representative said, oh, well, she misspoke. She didn't mean to say that. She meant to say the right to life, okay? So what do y'all think? Did she really mean to say the right to life, or did she say what she said and meant what she said? Okay? You figure it out. Okay? And we know that a lot of the Trump supporters are definitely white supremacists. Okay? And they want to make America great again by making it white, but we all know that whites did not make America. Okay? That America was not built by them. America was stolen land. And unfortunately, this is what America is, a country built on a bunch of lies. And we get lies from every angle. The police department lies. Lawyers lie. Judges lie. Politicians lie. The president lies. Okay? This country is built on lies, deceit, and murder, okay, and theft. It's a sad situation in America. And you have to stand up for your rights, people. Whatever rights that you believe in, your rights may not be the same things that I see as my rights. But whatever your rights are, you need to stand up for your rights. Be a voice. Make that choice and be a voice for something. And don't let the government walk all over you. If you're fed up with what the government's doing, heck, go and visit the state capitol. Go and visit your legislators. Make some noise and get people together to fight against whatever they're doing and get them to enact new legislation, okay? We are their constituents. Their job and duty is to make sure that they're supporting their constituency. If they're not, vote them out, okay? Vote them out. Now, at the end, we're going to bring Pastor Mays back on at the end after Ngozi's time and after I'm finished speaking at the end. She's going to pray for us tonight. All right, so at this time, we're going to have Ngozi time, and then I will be right back at you, so don't you dare go nowhere. Your girl Chinchilla J will be right back after this.
First of all, I want to thank all the callers who called in late. Sorry you can't get on. But tonight, we really had an outstanding forum. We said what we said. I love what the brother said at the end about, you know, just us not being cowards in our own community. We can't blame the youth because we're supposed to set the example. I've been saying this for over 9.5 years. Do you know where your children are tonight? Chinchilla J brought up something that I already presented in this show, that Roe versus Wade was not about anything else but saving the white womb, period. I don't have to keep on going, pontificating. You heard what I said. Tomorrow night right here, we have a show that Chinchilla J loves, and it is the Legendary Merc City Hip Hop Program, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time right here at WBNN. And, of course, WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. And, of course, we are on Pinterest, and we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. We're on all these different things, right, trying to help you. Listen, we're on these social media processes for you guys to garner, to share with us, and share with your own people on those platforms. All you folks around the world, let's build this thing greater than what we are tonight, okay? Let's do better. Let's do better. All you guys are listening. This is the type of show that everybody should be hearing. Your children, all your to the old. That's what News Forum is all about. And I'll reiterate it again. WBNN is advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter at Ngozi underscore time. And, of course, Ola Dele Malema Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, I want for program tonight, Ole Dele, Dying Ngozi with mine, gmail.com. Man, your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dele Malema Ngozi, saying good night, good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio. Support us on a constant basis. Stop being cowards. Let's be able to control our communities with love, honor, and discipline, which is not the enemy of enthusiasm. Now back, and of course, congratulations to Chinchilla J tonight on her 56th all-time connection record at WBNN with the Darlene Lawrence Championship. She is the 2021 Linear New Host of the Year. If you don't know what that means, she was best new host of her class of 2021. Good night.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother O. I would like to thank all of my guests tonight. My dear friend Caroline Turner, Brian Fegans from WWDB, Francetta Mays, Pastor Francetta Mays from the NAACP, and also Sergio Hyland, the chief editor, or editor-in-chief, should I say, of The Movement magazine. Thank you so much, all of you. And for those of you listening tonight that didn't get a chance to get on, hey, we may do a part two to this because there's so much more to talk about both of these issues, and there's going to be a lot going on this upcoming week because there were rallies and protests all last week ever since they laid those decisions down on Thursday. And so this upcoming week, there's going to be a whole lot more. So we may just do a part two to this next week, and maybe you can get on and talk, but press one early on in the show to make sure you get a chance to speak, okay? And I have so much I want to say, you know, in closing, but I'm not going to say that much in closing tonight because then we'll be over time and, like, we'll be like just cut off, okay? Because we can't run over 11:30. And Roe versus Wade, the overturning, you know, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Think about what your thoughts are. Put it on paper. And if you don't like it, hey, do something about it. If you do like it, hey, I guess you don't have to do anything but be happy, okay? And these gun laws are, to me, they're insane. Total insanity. Because, as I said, in Philadelphia, there's all this gun violence already in other inner cities where these young people are in arguments. And they pull out guns and start shooting. What happened on South Street? Killing innocent people. Okay? And it's so sad. And that's because of an argument between two people. One person pulled out their gun and started shooting. The other pulled out and started shooting back at that guy. And what did they do? Shoot and killed innocent people. It has to stop. It has to stop. And the Supreme Court, it seems like they do not want it to stop. They're trying to depopulate us, people. They're trying to depopulate us. So anyway, with that being said, I'm your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia. Don't forget to donate to Be A Voice. Cash App, Be A Voice. That's BEAVOICETOUR. Be A Voice Tour. And on Venmo, Be A Voice, BEAVOICE. All right? And during the course of the week, reach me 844-642-8378, extension 888, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Follow me on Instagram at Princess Chinchilla. And also, follow and like me on Facebook, Chinchilla Jonesia, Chinchillas with one L. And like and follow Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page. Also on Facebook, of course, all separate words. Until next week, I am your girl, Chinchilla J. And at this time, we're going to bring on Pastor Francetta Mays from the NAACP to lead this nation and all of my listeners in prayer.
Father God, we just come before you right now thanking you, Lord, for being in our right minds. Father God, we thank you that you can pull us all together at one time, Father God, to be under one voice. Lord, we just thank you that as we come submitted before you, that we get to repent. We get to repent right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, asking that you cleanse us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Because, Lord, we're coming, and we're expecting miracle signs and wonders right now, Father God. We're expecting for people to come out and vote, Father God, and let their voices be heard. Father God, we're expecting movement right now in the body of Christ. Father God, we just thank you in advance for binding every demonic spirit, witch, warlock, any contractual agreements that was made in the atmosphere. Father God, that was not approved by you, we bind them right now. All voices, silence them. Every tongue that rises up against you, Father God, curse it, Father God, and send it back to those that curse it, Father God. We thank you for activating the people right now, Father God, and we just declare and decree it being so. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen. You all have a blessed evening.
If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest.